Here we go. Hour number four of the Rob Brown Show goes right now.
Do you want that stank on you?
I mean, listen.
I mean, because that's stank. That is stank. You don't want
booty
that.
Cheeks.
Find another way. I'm just saying.
I kind of want to play that diss track again. Not NGL. Not gonna lie. I might play it again next segment. I might. It made me very happy. Very, very happy indeed. All right, we got a lot to get to as we continue to look up and down the world of college and professional football from the weekend that was. Spent a lot of time talking about the college game. Yes, for those of you tuning in late that happened to be wearing garnet and black on Saturday, I did issue a very genuine apology for my words about your football team last weekend. You know who told me? Maybe not directly, but also kind of definitely directly. You know who told me that I could can it, that I could shut my stupid mouth, that I didn't have to say all the words I thought about? Shane Beamer.
All right. If you needed proof that friend of the show, Shane Beamer, listens to this program, that whole soundbite, he listened to us all last week. That's what he did, obviously. And so those things were directed at you that should have been, and he directly quoted me about it was just a bad game. So he listened to the show the entire week.
So,
and do you apologize when you apologize at home when you do something? Do you do it the same way that you've done this entire day?
No. See what you
with caveats with.
There's no caveyots. There's no caveats. Everything.
It's just, I'm sorry, period. That's how that works.
Everything that I said except my game prediction was spot on. And I want to be very clear about this. Listen to my words, not what you think I'm saying. Listen to what I'm actually saying.
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Yeah, directly to your face. Listen to what I am saying, not what you think that I'm saying. Here's what I am saying.
You weren't making eye contact, so you weren't talking directly to my face.
Never once, not one time, did I say, as Shane said, that it's a bad football team. Never said that. Never said anything close to it. What I said was, in the old Mississippi game, the game plan stank. The execution stank and the discipline stank. There are a lot of good football teams that come into a game with a stank plan and then go through the game with stank execution and stank discipline. That's what I said. I didn't say the team was bad. I said against Ole Miss, the game plan, the execution, and the discipline were bad. And I think anybody with a pair of eyeballs would have agreed with me after that Ole Miss game. Now, the question, there's another variable to this. The other variable to this is half of the reason that I said I thought South Carolina was going to get it handed to them on Saturday. And that half of the reason was Alabama. Because this may shock you. In any given football game, there's two teams that are out there. I know almost 100% of football games, two teams have to play. And just like we sat here last week and said, okay, South Carolina coming into this game, they got to do this and think about that and plan for that and execute this. All those same conversations were taking place over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, as they got set up to try to rebound from the L to Vandy on the road, okay? The same conversations about execution, and not just the same conversations, about the same topics. Game plan sucked. Discipline sucked. Execution sucked. Same exact conversations. And so the thought that I had going into this game was not just that I was concerned about the execution, the game plan, and the discipline from South Carolina from Ole Miss to Alabama, but it was also that they had to play Alabama. They had to play an Alabama team that's good. has a lot of talent. It's got a Heisman Trophy, potentially, probably not anymore, finalist, and Jalen Milroe under center. This wasn't South Carolina going to practice in a vacuum. This was against another very good, top-notch, top-five at SEC team, right? And so my assumption was, if South Carolina can't clean the stank off of the Ole Miss performance, and Alabama, as I expected that they would, did do that from the Vanderbilt performance, that's the perfect storm for a butt-whooping, is what that is. But I was wrong. I was wrong about both aspects. I was wrong about South Carolina because the game plan was dramatically better. Dramatically better. The execution, dramatically better. And the discipline dramatically existed. I didn't have guys up emptying the clip into quarterbacks after they sacked them and cost them 15. All those things got cleaned up. And then there's Alabama. Because again, they also played in this contest. The final outcome is determined by what two teams do, not what one team does. Alabama came in and did not really vary up the game plan all that much. It was kind of the same offense that they ran against Vandy and lost with. And South Carolina was ready for it. Against Vandy, that was a team that lacked a lot of discipline. And they came out in this game, and they were missing assignments. And South Carolina took advantage of that. South Carolina looked like a whole different football team from Saturday to Saturday. Alabama looked like the same team from Saturday to Saturday, just played a little bit better than they did against the Doors. Right? That's it. So I apologize for one thing and one thing alone. I don't apologize for incorrectly predicting the game. Because if I had to apologize for incorrectly predicting games, I'd have to make a whole damn segment out of it every Monday. Because I miss some, all right? That's why Vegas gambling is Vegas gambling and not Vegas telling you what it's going to do before it do it. There's a difference. What I will apologize for is saying, don't watch the game on Saturday. That it's not going to be entertaining. This is not going to be fun for you. For going full 300. You will not enjoy this. I am not your king. Right? Like that's it to me. I apologize for that. I read that game wrong. I wondered if, as I have for a couple of years now, I wondered if Shane Beamer was going to be able to take a team the last week was undisciplined, was going to take a game plan that last week did not match the task at hand, and have those issues corrected by the time that you went up against the top five team in the country. And you made them look like a not top five team in the country. You had them. Now, I think that this probably feels a little bit less dramatic if the onside kick wasn't recovered at the end of that game. I think it probably looks a little more definitive if you didn't have Lenora Sellers launching that Hail Mary on the last play. And there's a lot I can say about the X's and O's and breakdown of this game. I hope you throw a hell of a lot of effort and energy into continuing to develop Nicholas Harbor into the receiver that he can be. You saw the flash. That tutty he had, the toe tap, clean of a catch as you're going to see out of a college football wide receiver. I hope you develop Nick Harbor. I hope the development of Nick Harbor opens up the field for the other wide receivers to get better. I hope you continue to put pressure on Lenora Sellers. Because there was a lot of spots where Lenora Sellers looked like an absolute dog in that game. And then there were a lot of spots here and there where Lenora Sellers was very clearly a first-year QB1. A lot of spots where Lenora Sellers very clearly felt the pressure of that game and did not respond to it, including that INT on the final play of the game. If you go back and watch that play, Bama brings 7. They drop 4. Now, if you're a quarterback and you take the snap and you see they're bringing 7, you have to know in a 5 wide, and they weren't 5 wide, they were 4 wide. Because they had Rocket staying back to block. I think Rocket was on an option, right? If they bring four and it's handled, you can go out on the flat, go be our out-of-bounds wide receiver. But if they bring more than four, you stay in and block. And he did. So you had four on four. You had three go routes, two nines on the outside, a seven in the middle, and then you have one guy out on the left who goes 10 to the first down stick, sits on the 40-yard line. They're in a solo around him. He's got 15 yards in any given direction to the nearest football player. When Sellers looks up and Sellers sees seven coming, he's got to know, somebody's open. Somebody's got to be open. They're bringing seven guys. And instead of, and you got to do it quickly, I'm not saying this is easy to do. He's a first-year QB1. What you got to do is eyes up, see if any of my go routes are just happen to be open, and if not, know my check down is to the left 10 yards out. Get the head turn, hit that guy. Because if he gets that ball delivered, that guy's picking up 10 yards, he's going out of bounds. You got 3 seconds to kick a 40-yard field goal to win the game. At least you've given yourself a chance. But that's not what he did. He saw the seven coming, he realized Rocket was going to get beat, and he just back foot miracle, please somebody help me, winged it to the end zone. And nobody was there. Am I upset about it? Sure, in that you had a chance and you did it. I'm no more upset at Lenora Sellers than I am Will Howard. In fact, if anything, I think Will Howard's move at the end of the Oregon-Ohio State game was a bigger boneheaded move than Lenora Sellers throwing that ball, because that's a seasoned, multi-year starter versus QB1 in game six.
I completely agree with you there. It bookended for me. I watched South Carolina early and then watched the Ohio State game. And it's like, this is kind of, it's very similar. Your experienced quarterback should not make the kind of mistakes that Will Howard made at the end of that game. Lenore Sellers, when he made mistakes, I guess it's okay to go, yeah, but he's a freshman. I mean, because that's my first thought.
Now, I will say this. It is game six. I need,
not for him, it's not.
No, it's game, four and a half for him. Four and a quarter for him. I mean, I know it's not. It's 4 years in. He gets time to develop. But, much like we talked about earlier, greatness doesn't come in leaps. It comes in steps. Frequently in baby steps, right? It's a little step. It's a little better here, a little better here, a little better here. That's why I've heard the slogan a gazillion times, right? A gazillion times. Be 1% better than you were yesterday. If every day you are just 1% better than you were yesterday, you're a third better than you were at the beginning of the month at the end of it, right? So I do need to see progression. And if you will recall, those of you in the Armada who were listening to the show last week, when I was voicing my concerns, critiques, criticisms of Shane Beamer, do you remember what the number one criticism I had was? I hammered on this. Do you remember what it was? A lack of player development. That was my big concern. A lack of player development. And I'm going to tell you, I still had that concern today. This result was spectacular. This result was phenomenal. I don't care if you don't believe in moral victories. I do. And this was one. The result, phenomenal. You went in there, you busted your ass, you competed, and you had them on the ropes. You're as we say all the time, any given game the result can be shifted in one play. One play can change the game. And there are probably six or seven for South Carolina that it's like, if that one play is different, you win this football contest. Right? If that Hail Mary goes to the out at the 40-yard line, that man picks up 10 and dives out of bounds with 2-3 seconds left, kick a field goal, you walk out of there with a dub. One given play. But what I can say, and this week I think we'll go a gazillion miles into either enhancing the concern or answering the concern. Does this team that I think took the lessons from a booty cheeks performance against Ole Miss and improved and cleaned up and put them into place against Alabama? Now, do we take what we learned against Alabama and put it into place against Oklahoma? Because I'll tell you, the biggest, like I said, the reason I projected you guys to get curb stomped by Alabama wasn't just about the lack of discipline or execution or game plan against Ole Miss for South Carolina. It was also the fact that I thought Alabama was going to look like an entirely different team on Saturday that had something to prove because they were going to be ticked off. And you took that punch to the mouth and then you punched back. Spectacular. Guess who you got this Saturday? On the road for the second week in a row. So all the things you had to deal with against Alabama, you got to deal with them again this week, and you're on the road a second week in a row. You're going to Norman, Oklahoma. You know what happened to Oklahoma this weekend? They got curb stomped by Texas. They don't like that very much. And now they have two losses, which means if they want any shot at making it into the playoffs, they not only can't lose again, but they got a Styles with a Z all the way to the end of the year. So, all the things you learned about yourself and your plans and your coaches and your players and your development and discipline and execution and all that leading up to the Bama game, you now have to take that and perfect it and get it ready for this Saturday. I'll tell you right now, you go out there to Norman and you compete, you bust it up and you give Oklahoma a game, I'm going to feel a heck of a lot better Monday, win or lose. You go out there and win, now we're cooking. But if it all reverts back, and this is my big fear, if it all reverts back to what it was the Saturday before, then we have a problem. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, we talked a lot of college football. Let's take a look across the National Football League this weekend. Spencer Rattler made his debut for the New Orleans Saints. It went okay, but the Saints defense, I was very loud. But also, volume reflected my emotion yesterday. I was not good. I was not good yesterday.
That pierced my brain, dude.
Yeah, so did having to watch the Saints defense yesterday. Falcons 38, Panthers 20. Kirk Cousins goes off for 225 and a tutty in this one, but it was the Falcons' run game, almost 200 yards. In fact, if Kirk didn't take a couple of sacks, they would have crossed the double century mark yesterday. Alonzo, I don't know about you, pretty much exactly what I expected out of this game. The Panthers are not just a team that is still very much in rebuilding mode, but they're a team with very much in rebuilding mode with like half their starters in the hospital.
All right, this is not exactly what I expected. I mean, the outcome, yeah, but the fact that they were semi-competitive for a while, knowing how many players are actually out on the injury list. That injury list is huge.
Yeah, I felt real bad. In fact, I'll run the audio for you here. I felt real bad after the game because I heard a comment from J.C. Horn who said this. I feel bad for him because there's two things. Number one, and this is something that Lonzo and I butted heads about earlier. I don't know where this mentality came from that schemes don't matter, that tactics don't matter, that like only thing that matters is players executing, which players executing obviously matters a lot. But this concept that plans don't matter is just wrong. It's just wrong. Yeah, JC, the schemes matter. And this is one thing that I will say, this conversation's happening elsewhere in the NFL. Israel Evero went from one of the hottest head coaching prospects in the NFL to a dude that right now is, if you want him to stay around, you're going to have the opportunity because right now his name is not connected. There are expected to be at least 7 open head coaching positions in the NFL at the end of the season, and I don't see Israel Evero's name connected to any of them.
By the way, I just want to point out, and I'm not going to be that guy, but I guess I am, that I've been saying that I didn't think he was that great of a coach. And you and Rashad were like, oh, no. This is like a couple years ago, or maybe even last year, you guys were defending him. And I just didn't see it.
I mean, again, but you heard what we just talked about. For the last 2 years, the Panther defense has been electrifying and the offense has stunk. Now it's flipped on its head.
It hasn't been. I mean, it's been good, but it could have been better.
It's been for what it has been asked to do, which is for 2 years in a row to play more snaps than any other defense in the NFL by a lot. Yeah, it's been really good. This whole concept of the schemes don't matter, but the second part is when he talks about the players and all that, man, like I said, Shaq's gone, Derrick Brown's gone, your DBs are all missing games one at a time. Like, it's not great in Charlotte, North Carolina.
This has been like the first year he's been healthy the entire year, yeah. So I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody would know that, it's got to be J.C. Horn. 35-16, the Chicago Bears knock off the Jacksonville Jaguars over in London, England. Caleb Williams is a dog, like I told you he was going to be. 23 of 29, 226.
Not showing me anything yet. Not yet. play a really good team.
It isn't, dude. There is smoke coming off the wheels underneath the goalpost you keep moving for this kid. This kid's got, you have got the goalpost on a motorcycle right now.
No, I have been consistent in what I've said about him for the entire season.
Yeah, it's
I don't know what you're talking about.
It stinks, and then it's come out, he's good, and then it's come out and play a good game, and then he goes for two touchdowns, like, oh, do more than that. So he throws for four, and it's, no, now what you got to play a good team and do it.
All right, are you directly quoting me on all those things?
Paraphrasing.
Are you?
Paraphrasing.
Are you? Because I don't think you are.
Yeah, paraphrasing.
I need some
real
proof
close
that I said any of that.
Real close.
Because I didn't.
Four tutty passes for Caleb Williams, 226 yards, one touchdown to add on to a Bears rush for 152 yards. Trevor Lawrence I just don't know, man. Like, on one hand, TL16 is 23-35 for 234 and two touchdowns, one interception. On the other hand, could have had two more and just misfired. On the other hand, he's got guys out here like Gabe Davis. That TL put 16, put a touchdown pass in his friggin' hand. Couldn't have put it in a better spot if you walked it up and handed it to him, and he puts it on the turf. Like, I'm so conflicted about how to feel about Trevor Lawrence. So there are some plays where I'm like, bro, you ain't it. And there's other plays where I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't be it either if these guys were dropping passes like this.
It's okay. He makes a lot of money. He'll be all right.
He does make a lot of money. Green Bay Packers 34-13 winners over the Arizona Cardinals. They made the Cardinals look like the way we thought the Cardinals were going to look. And finally, the Packers look like the way we thought the Packers were going to look. Jordan Love with a Caleb Williams-esque performance, 22 of 32, 258, four touchdowns, one interception. Green Bay also ran for a 179. Kyler Murray, 22 of 32, 214, and one tutty in this one. I don't know what else to say, man. Like, Arizona's come back to earth. Green Bay played an Arizona team. You know, I think Arizona last week was kind of the illustration of you are not as good as your best game and you are not as bad as your worst game. I think Arizona, you know what Arizona is? Arizona's like the Saints. They had a couple of good games in a row and everybody's like, uh-oh, look out. It's like, no, those are their best games. Like, that's not average. That's not normal. That's the outlier. Green Bay, the exact opposite. Think they had a couple of mediocre games, and this is more in line with what people expected to see. 20-17, the Colts knock off the Titans. Joe Flacco goes out there, throws for a 189, two touchdowns and a pick. Will Levis, 95 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Will Levis ain't it.
I think there's a major question here, and that is, who's Joe Flacco playing for next year?
Anybody who needs a backup and has an injury-prone starter at this point. Look, Flacco's definition of do enough. Do enough. A 189, two tutties, and a pick. Do enough. That's all he does. Do enough.
But if you make the playoffs, you better hope that somebody else comes back. It's not good.
41-21, the Texans knock off the New England Patriots. Drake May gets his start, 243 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions. Also was the leading rusher for the... For the Pats, five carries, 38 yards. Dude's an athlete. Like, we know he's an athlete. We know he's got wheels. We know he can get out there and make some stuff happen. But at the end of the day, New England's offensive line is booty cheeks. New England's defense is booty cheeks. C.J. Stroud, not overwhelming numbers, 20 of 31, 192. Did have three touchdown passes and one interception in this one. Joe Mixon came back, 102 yards and a touch on the ground. 13 carries, averaged almost 8 yards a carry to Joe Mixon.
So
ladies and gentlemen,
good,
the Houston Texans are a good football team.
So how good are you when you throw for three touchdowns and Rob says it wasn't that great of a day?
Yardage-wise, it wasn't. He was...
He was given really good field position by a good running game or by a good defense.
Absolutely. So. And listen... A good quarterback takes what's given to him. That's it.
So I didn't watch the game, so I don't know. He may have got the ball like on the 10 every single time. So his yardage isn't going to look as good, but, you know, he's scored
yardage
points.
Didn't look good because Texans were running the hell out of the football. I mean, that's it. It was a run-oriented game. A quarterback takes what's given to him. C.J. Stroud took everything the Patriots gave to him, and they won by 20. Eagles 20, Browns 16. Nick Sirianni. Dude, what are you doing? Did y'all see this? Nick Sirianni, after the Eagles beat the 1-5 Browns in Philly, Sirianni was over Here it is, though. Over here, getting after Eagles fans for having the audacity to get after the team because the team has stunk since the midway point of last season. My man, turn around, keep the headset on. Maybe don't go put your fans on blast when you're 3-2 and you barely escaped Cleveland.
I get it from that angle, but isn't that what you expect out of Philadelphia?
That's actually a really good point.
Don't want your coach to reflect how I see that and go, yeah, it's Philly.
Okay, that's actually a really good point. That's actually more than fair. Chill out, Sirianni. Dude, you're not that good. The Ravens, 7.5-point favorites. Good teams win, great teams cover. The Commanders cover, 30-23 Washington behind Jaden Daniels, 269 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks, also ran for 22. Problem was Washington as a whole could not run the ball. 52 rushing yards, 22 of them belonged to Jaden Daniels. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you it would be this year, the Derrick Henry Show. King Henry, 132 and a pair of tutties on the ground, averaged 5.5 per tote. Lamar also had a light 323 passing yards as the Ravens go almost 500 yards of offense in this game.
What was the
Ravens are
score?
Good now. 23-30 BLT.
So all that, and they still only won by a touchdown.
Against the 4-2 Washington Commanders.
Okay, all right.
With the,
all right.
Not just, as I told you, he will be NFL Rookie of the Year, but a dude that is making a genuinely, legitimately good argument for the MVP in Jaden Daniels. Guy's a stud.
Washington underrated, Ravens definitely overrated.
Washington underrated, Ravens rated. I'm good with that. Hey, the Chargers get the better of the Broncos. 23-16 is your final down. Scary moment with Jim Harbaugh, by the way, who had to lead, just left this game. Like, he just disappeared from the sideline. It was very Ted Lasso season 2 when he took off. It turned out that Harbaugh actually had a pretty serious medical issue. He described it after the game. Dork Jim Harbaugh won me over. Just in that moment. My man has a medical procedure. By the way, I was reading through some comments that were made after the game by a dude that came on Twitter. He's like, I have this. He's like, this is a thing that I experience more frequently. Harbaugh said he had one in 2011 and he had another attack this weekend. This disease that Harbaugh has, it leads to, without any known cause or trigger, it leads to a situation, great one, where your heart rate can spike up to 250 to 300 beats per minute. Your resting heart rate is like 60, 65. It can spike up to 300, 5 times as fast as normal. And this dude said, I have it. He's like, every time you don't know if it's an issue or if you're having a heart attack and you're going to die. That's a real thing. And the fact that my dude Jim Harbaugh just left the field, went off, dealt with it, figured it out, and then came back. Pretty sweet. And then has jokes. Hey, I'm 2-0 with this.
Wonder how they deal with it. Is it a shot? Do you get shocked? I mean, what do you? I don't know.
Do not know.
Or do you just go into a dark room and just like breathe?
Don't know. What I can say is that's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. And then to come out and make a 2-0 joke about it. That's, way to go, dork-ass Jim. Big fan. All right, when we come back, we'll look through the rest of the games from the weekend and get you up out of here. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. A few more minutes running up and down the NFL scoreboard with some initial thoughts. We'll break down the X's and O's game-to-game more as the week goes on. 23-16 Chargers over the Broncos. I think you're starting to see what Justin Herbert can be when he has a run game and a not idiot head coach. J.K. Dobbins also had a go of it. 96 yards and a tutty on the ground. Justin Herbert, 21 of 34, 237, and a touchdown, a QBR of 92 in this game. I might have been wrong about Bo Nix, too. Bo Nix doesn't look bad. 19 of 33, 216, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Also ran for 61 yards in this one. As much as I've been right about Justin Herbert, I might have been wrong about Bo Nix. He's looking better game by game. We'll see if that keeps up. 32-13, the Steelers knock off the Raiders. Raiders got a problem. Raiders got a problem. Max Crosby coming off of the field, and you know Max Crosby doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve. Max Crosby punches you in the face with his emotions. And I thought he was going to it to Antonio Pierce. Did you see this? Crosby was coming off the field late in the game. Raiders down most of the points at this point. And Antonio Pierce came over to dap up Max Crosby. Crosby just straight up shoved him out of the way. Remember when we were talking about last week after Robert Saleh got canned? Remember how we were talking about the fact that that video of Aaron Rodgers pushing him away, trying to celebrate a tutty with him? How that, I said that video probably got played on Twitter about a gazillion times because of the Aaron Rodgers dynamic in that firing. Yeah, this one is just the illustration of the Raiders now. 2-4, and Max Crosby's out there. And the thing is, when Saleh went to hug Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers just kind of like put his hands up, right? Like pass blocked him, got the hands in the chest, but he didn't like shove it. Max Crosby straight up like, I'm fitting to fight you, shoved his head coach. Shoved him. I got to tell you, Antonio Pierce joining the Mike Norvell way to lose your locker room as quickly as possible strategy. Pretty impressive. Aiden O'Connell, 227 yards, a touch and a pick, but the Raiders had only 57 rushing yards. On the flip side, Justin Fields, 14 of 22, 145, no touchdowns, no picks. The Steelers did rush for 183 yards, 59 of them belonging to Fields. And I'll say this before Lonzo decides he's going to come at me, bro. I'm going to say this. Justin Fields is going to keep his job for now. And it's not because of the 14 of 24, 145 yards, no touches, no picks day. Throwing the ball, Justin Fields was pedestrian in this game. He's going to keep his job because he can take off running for 59 and two touchdowns. He's going to keep his job because the Steelers' offensive line is booty cheeks. And Justin Fields, if anything else, and I've said I think his game's going to be fine. Justin Fields can scramble, boy. So, Justin Fields can put on the burners and go.
Your defense for him still playing is they're protecting Russell Wilson because Justin Fields can scramble better.
No. My defense for Justin Fields keeping the job over Russell Wilson is Justin Fields can run and Russell Wilson can't. Russell Wilson is a better thrower of the football than Justin Fields. However, he's a statue in the pocket, and the Steelers' offensive line is one of the worst in football right now. I need a quarterback who won't die playing behind it, and that ain't Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will get Thanos'd if he plays behind that offensive line. Justin Fields, inevitably when the pocket breaks down, Justin Fields can freaking go, and that's his saving grace right now.
You know, I have very few victories in life, but I'm going to relish this every week.
I mean, that's fine. Again, none of the reasons I thought Russell Wilson would be starting are the reasons that Russell Wilson isn't starting. But the rest of the Steelers stink right now, and even though they are 4-2, they're going to be exactly what they were last year. They're going to be a team that gets into the playoffs, and they're the worst playoff team.
When you work with such a great knower of ball, and he's wrong on occasion, and you're right, you just you have to enjoy it. You have to savor the moment.
So in gambling, there is a term.
Or moments, like every
moment.
Week.
Let's not get carried away. Moment is fine
he's
for right
still
now.
Starting.
There is a phrase that we use in sports gambling. That phrase is right read, wrong result, right? That phrase is used when you break down a game and everything you said was correct, but then none of it happened, right? Like, I assume Russell Wilson was going to be the starter because Russell Wilson can throw the football better than Justin Fields. He just can't right now. I'm not saying that way forever, but right now. Except the problem is Pittsburgh can't throw the ball because they got an offensive line that is bad. It's just bad. It's just bad. Lions 47, Cowboys 9. Dak Prescott, 17 to 33, 178, no touchdowns, two interceptions. The boys ran for a total of 53 yards. On the flip side, Jared Goff, 18 of 25, 315, three touchdowns, and the Lions ran for 184 yards and two more. I don't know what to tell you, Lonzo. The Cowboys are broken. They're broken. There's no coming back from this. They are broken.
Well, I get it from a certain point of view, unless you didn't have expectations for them in the first place. What were your expectations of what the Cowboys were going to do this year?
I mean, my expectations were to be a plus 500 team and compete for the NFC East. Compete for, not necessarily win it. I took a flyer out on the Commanders to win this division because Jaden Daniels, and by the way, nailed it. But I expected competition. You know what I didn't expect, Zoe? What I did not expect, what the expectations were higher than lose at home 44-19, lose at home 28-25, lose at home 47-9. My expectations were higher than beat the Browns, Giants, and Steelers by 3. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't getting embarrassed at the house 47-9. My expectations of Carolina were higher than lose 47-9 in your own crib. And then last night, 17-7, the Bengals get by the Giants in the final of that one. Joey B, 19 of 28, 208, no touchdowns, no picks. Did have 55 yards of rushing, including a 47-yard rushing TD on the opening drive of this game. Danny Dimes, 22 of 41, 205, no touchdowns, one interception. The G-men did run for a buck 19, 56 of them from Daniel Jones. The Giants aren't good. The Bengals get win number 2. Looked a little more in line. I got to tell you, so I think the Bengals are going to look better week by week in a direct ratio to Joe Burrow's wrist week by week. Because you still see him. I don't know if you got to watch any of this game last night, but you can see Joey Burrow in the warm-ups. Like, that wrist ain't back yet. That wrist ain't right.
I watched early on. I saw him run for the touchdown.
Bro, when he got hit in the goal line, I'm like, no! Joe! Don't do that. Don't do that, Joe. You're already made of sugar glass, Joe. Don't do that. He did that. They win 17-7. Anybody stand out in the NFL games this weekend?
Is Joe Burrow a bust?
No, not at all. He's been to a Super Bowl.
He did go to a Super Bowl. Yeah, but there have been some other guys who went to a Super Bowl that you wouldn't count as some of the best quarterbacks.
True, but
time.
They went. Let me clarify that. They went to the Super Bowl because of Joe Burrow. Tampa didn't go to the Super Bowl because of Brad Johnson. They went with Brad Johnson. The Bengals went to the Super Bowl because of it. And by the way, I put the Bengals' struggles on 3 things right now. Joe's wrist, ain't much he can do about that, right? And the 2 receivers. Jamar Chase acted like a diva this offseason and missing camp up until what? Didn't Jamar Chase show up 7 minutes before their opening game? And not his fault either, but T. Higgins being out with the injury, their top 2 wide receivers did not play in the preseason. It's going to take them a minute to get going, but as Joe gets healthier week by week, the Bengals will get better week by week. I'm not writing them, but they're the only 2-4 team that I think still has an outside shot to make the playoffs.
All right, when you hear that sound, you know the show is coming to a close. Time to ask Rob what the X is going on. The first thing that's Xing is John Chayna.
John Chayna is trending because he was on some live stream this week. I'm going to tell you, I've because of John Chayna, I've never been. I don't care. I don't. Not only do I not care, I don't want his name said on this show. All right. I have stumbled into this millennial world of streamers that don't do anything. They don't do it. They sit in a chair. And they don't do anything. They're not playing video games. They're not talking about stuff. Like, they just don't. They just sit there and talk. There's one right now going on where one streamer is mad at another streamer because this streamer did the dirty with a porn star who also slept with this other streamer. And this other streamer has the, an STD.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
definitely don't know about that, but okay. Yeah, I get it. I think we all get it.
So this streamer.
And if you don't, good for you.
Yeah.
You're precious.
You bless your heart, you sweet summer child. So streamer B did the dirty with a porn star and gave the porn star a round of applause. Then that porn star went and slept over here with this streamer. Did the first porn star, like, or the first streamer, I guess, didn't tell the porn star. And so she did. And their whole stream is going back and forth being mad at each other because now they both have.
No, none of this has anything to do with John Cena. He just,
he just happened to be on another podcast.
Yeah, it's
that
not.
Again. Oh, they ate Big Macs. That was the whole stream. They ate Big Macs.
No, this dude busted through and stole the Big Macs.
Okay, I did see that. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, and.
Oh,
and
am I a millennial now?
They spent time acting like they couldn't see him because he was. I just, you know, and I just saw the video and thought it was funny without actually
John Cena,
hearing it.
If we ever get John Cena in here, do we do the first like 2 minutes of the podcast pretending like we can't see him, or is that played at this point?
I think it's been done before, not by us though, and we would do it masterfully.
John Cena, when you're ready, come on in. We got a chair for you.
Yeah, today on the show, we're supposed to have John Cena. We'll let you know when he gets here. All right. The next thing that's I'll just play the theme song over and over again. Going, I don't know where he is.
We were told John Cena was going to be here.
I mean, you know what? This is just like, it's false advertising. We apologize.
We were told that guy from Fast and the Furious was going to be here.
And he's not here. Dom's brother. I believe it. All right. The next thing that's Xing is UFOs.
Where did we see a UFO that shockingly is only on blurry and very shaky cameras this time?
All right. So apparently these UFOs are showing up over military institutions and the government. Can't seem to do anything about it.
Yeah, because it's definitely not them.
Why are you not looking?
Definitely not them.
Yeah, no. It's actual. What do they call them now? AEPs or something? I forget what they call them.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, like anyone, no one knows except for their UFOs. So there's video out there, and like there always is. And, you know, with AI and stuff, here's the perfect time for an invasion is now, because with AI. The skepticism is so high, especially for people like Rob Brown, who do not believe that there's a possibility that we could be invaded.
Have no reason to believe.
Okay.
Yet.
Anyway, right away he's going to say it's not real. The only way he's going to believe it, as the Thomas that he is, doubting Thomas, is to look out these windows and see an alien ship right outside the windows.
If someone can provide certified, verified, empirical evidence, I am open. But it's always some dude with shaky, blurry camera. Like, my cell phone is so good. I can shoot a car 100 yards away and tell you what color shirt the driver has on.
He's talking about shooting video or a picture, not actually shooting the car.
Yeah, correct.
Well, you could have been hanging out with Rashad. I don't know. You might have got some gadgets.
The point here is, cell phone cameras are so good. I can read you a billboard from a mile away with it, but it seems like every time Bigfoot or a UFO show up, suddenly everybody's cell phone camera turns into a 1981 Sony Handycam for no reason.
We'll watch a video after the show and see what he thinks after watching the exact the actual video.
Sure.
All right, and finally, Chris Jericho is trending.
Jericho's trending because he won't.
It's one of two things.
Stop.
Either people really hate him.
Or people really like him.
Or it's the fact that he was in Terrifier 3 that just came out.
You just made the list!
Which I haven't watched any of the Terrifiers. Apparently, they're scary.
I like the concept of, like, dark hallway, door, flickering light. Suddenly, as our main character walks through, the door busts open. And through the other side, he hears a horrified voice saying, hey, that's it for us. Y'all have a great rest of your day. When we come back tomorrow, we'll dig into the X's and O's of Clemson's win over Wake Forest, South Carolina's almost win over Alabama, the Panthers' loss, and all the other games for the weekend, as well as get you set up for the ALCS and NLCS. That's all coming up tomorrow. Have a lovely rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!